This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 261. Some of the undead aren't playing by the established zombie rules. This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
And we are back with a new episode of our weekly podcast.
Oh my god, we're actually back and not kinda sorta back with the clip show.
Yes, this is in fact true. This is not a very special episode of this podcast.
No, it's just a regular one.
It's just an episode of our weekly podcast. How was your week? Yeah, that good. Oh, that was awesome. We've got a bunch of stuff to talk about today. Actually, it's a balanced show this week. We've got game and anime, you know, because we're gaming and anime thing. And, you know, depending upon time, we may have a gadget thing to talk about. So we're just going to jump right in. Panda, I know that you actually have been playing something new.
Yeah, very new.
Like, so spanking new.
Like, still warm in my hands. Like,
it's officially been 24 hours now.
It has officially been 24 hours. So, that's how new. The freshness.
It's very fresh.
It's
Ziploc fresh.
It is. The red and the blue, actually, it's imperative that they make green. That's how you know you're going to keep
red
it fresh.
Red and blue makes purple.
I meant yellow, but I said red.
Yeah, colors. Woohoo! I know how. See,
yellow and green. Yellow and blue make green.
Yellow and blue make green, and that's how you know that it's fresh. Red and blue make purple, and that's how you know it's lovely.
That or it's cabbage.
Yeah, or it's cabbage.
I love that cabbage. Well, there's a cabbage that's purple.
Yeah. So, well, it's red cabbage, but
red,
it's purpley.
Right. It's like got purple tinges in it.
Yummy with corned beef. Oh.
Okay.
All right, anyway, let's get off of food. Let's get back to games. Tell the people what you've been playing recently, Panda.
I've been playing Dead Island.
It's got zombies!
Yeah, no shit.
Surprise!
With a name like Dead Island, if there weren't any zombies on it, I'd have some issues.
Okay, I here's the thing about Dead Island. We all know I don't play that shit, right?
It's not shit.
Hold on. Let me just get through my thing, all right? And then you can do your thing, okay. And then I'll be like, oh! But here's the thing. We all know from multiple episodes, if you've been listening to this podcast at all ever, that I don't do survival horror or horror at all.
Or suspense horror.
I had some suspense.
No, you wouldn't watch me play Alan Wake.
I would watch you play Alan Wake. I wouldn't play Alan Wake.
Oh,
okay. Okay, but I would play Catherine.
So Ninja would be in a room.
Yeah, but I would play Catherine.
I don't think you would.
I would play Catherine. I would play Catherine.
Nope.
Did you get it for your Xbox?
No, I got it for my PS3, homie. It's Atlas! I want all my Atlas games to be on the PS3 because my first Atlas game was on my PS3.
See, if you got it on the Xbox, I would totally like.
Nah, I could bring it down and you could actually turn on. Oh, and as an update, because I know some people did ask me on Twitter if she ever turned it on, and the answer to that question is no. It has not been turned on.
I'm gonna turn it on, though. I am.
I'll bring down Catherine. You
because
play
Uncharted
Catherine.
Is coming. Uncharted 3.
But regardless, I don't believe like you would actually play Catherine because I actually went back and I know we're going on a tangent here.
Surprise.
But I went back and I was starting to do all the little finite things in Catherine because I'm going for all them trophies.
She's going ham on
I'm
Catherine.
Going the distance for trophies.
Yeah. Are you going for speed? Are you all alone?
He's all alone in his time of need.
And you're gonna
and
be
I'm
there?
Racing and plotting the course. But I'm not riding on a horse because I don't know how.
But horses scare me. I mean, they're beautiful.
They're beautiful, majestic creatures.
They scare me because they're so big.
I know I rode on a pony once and it made like a sound. I was like, I know I'm heavy. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Little Pony.
But regardless, going back to
it. My Little Pony. I rode on an elephant once.
But awesome. I'm going after a lot of the achievements, and now I'm just touching things in the game that I didn't touch in my first playthrough. Like, there's a lot of different finite, like, little things you can do. Like, you can change the jukebox in the bar. You can go in the bathroom and look at dirty pictures of C. Catherine. Cunt Catherine.
You said a nasty word.
Yes, I did. See you next Tuesday, Catherine.
See you next Tuesday.
And,
The one you don't like.
Right.
Yeah, the picture.
And it's funny because I was in the bathroom, and, you know, when you first walk into it, you see a sink and a mirror, and you can look in the mirror, you can wash your face, or you can go into the stall. Because for some strange reason, you can't just, you know, if I was going to look at some inappropriate pictures, I could just pull up my iPhone and be like, boom, there's a picture, and not show it to anyone. But Vincent, being a prude, is like, I can't look at that out here in a bar. I'm like, that's kind of the place you want to do it.
Right.
But whatever, he goes in the bathroom, he's discreet about it. Okay, so be it. And I'm sitting there, and I come out of the bathroom with Vincent, and I'm like, I've never washed my face. I'm like, you know, and I'm sitting here in the bathroom, like, the least thing I can do is wash my hands and face like a good citizen. And so I go to the mirror, and I have him wash his face, and as he's washing his face, and he's looking at the mirror, the mirror starts to flicker, and blood trickles down it. Like, it scared me. Like, it did the suspense, ha ha ha, flash of something, but you really couldn't catch it. And I was just like, oh, and now the game got kind of scary. I was like, I'm never washing my face in a bar again.
Yeah, don't do that. Bad things happen.
Yeah, so I told my friends.
Bad things happen in bar bathrooms, all right? That's just, you know, a PSA from us, you know, to you. But getting back to where I was going,
yeah.
I would play Catherine. I probably wouldn't play Alan Wake. And let me just break down the reason why.
Okay.
For me, the suspense stuff happens in the change between light and dark. Like, that's what gets me. Is when I'm, you know, thrust into an area where I can't see everything. So I can't be aware of what's going on. As you know, as a person, I'm really observant. I spy everything with my little eye. And so what is very terrifying and scary for me is when I can't do that, when I'm thrust into areas. So the play on the light and the dark and the things coming out of the dark to come and get you.
Oh, man. Then, yeah, Alan Wake's not for you because exactly. These entities are not even, like, shapes that you see in the dark. They fuse from the dark out.
This is what I'm saying. And so that's what is uncomfortable for me. It's why I don't play games like Fatal Frame. It's why, for most survival horrors, I don't enjoy them because it is that play on the...
They you know, have to. That's where they create the suspense and the fight or flight in you.
And so there's a difference for me in suspense in that there are hints and there are shadows and there's not something that necessarily manifests. It's more my imagination that there was something there and I have to figure it out.
Oh, no. In Fatal Frame, it's literally like you're walking through an area and something's walking.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. For those things where I get to play in my mind and really the suspense is built in my mind, I'm not confronted with the thing. I play through those. I enjoy the frick out of those. You know, I mean, like Heavy Rain, okay? There wasn't a whole lot of things coming out of the dark to get you, but there was a lot of things that happened and sounds and little flickers of things that you had to piece together. That I can enjoy. But the whole thing of, you know, I'm walking down a hallway, I've got a flashlight, and that's really all I have. I have no weapons. I have no weapons in sight. I know that there's going to be something that is going to appear from some place.
Right.
At some time,
right.
I'm not going to get any heads up about it. I can't see it, and it's going to fuck me. I don't enjoy that. I don't enjoy that.
You don't
idea.
Like surprise fucks in the dark?
I don't. You know, it's a rare occasion.
All right.
Okay. And so, you know, for you know, like House of the Dead, I can play that all day long because it's bright and it's just, hey, it's in your face. Here's a gun. Take them out. I can do that all day long. There's no horror. There's no scare factor for me. It's just blow things away that just happen to be undead corpses. I can do that all day long. But, you know, games like, you know, like I've watched you play Left 4 Dead, you know, multiplayer.
Right.
And to me, I could probably play multiplayer.
But,
and not
but
have
single
an issue.
Player is the exact same thing, except your cohorts are all AI.
Right, and so I could probably...
I could get through
Left 4 Dead.
One, you could totally get through one easily. Two, they put realism in there. And, I mean, I'm not even all that great at realism in Left 4 Dead 2, where, you know, when you saw me playing the initial with the RP Grinder guys, where if you came across something, it was highlighted, so you knew you could pick it up. They don't do that in realism. So you don't get that hint, hey, look, there's ammo here. And you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, so for me, Dead Island is not
Oh, no, it's definitely not for you.
That I would play myself. That being said, I've enjoyed watching your playthrough because it definitely has great story pieces. There's a lot of thought behind how relationships, as far as, like, you know, the people that, as you'll explain, you're around.
Right.
And how that actually feeds into your ability set. I am really enjoying that, but it is absolutely...
Oh, it's not for you.
It's not something that I would play by myself. Oh, no. Definitely unless not. It was like a sunny day and all my windows were open and I had my boombox going too on the side and like the cuteoverload.com loaded on a 22-inch screen to my right so I could go to my happy place.
It's like, oh, I am palate cleanse. Oh, basil puppies.
So I will let you do your thing.
Yeah.
But I just want to say this. The game, as far as what I've seen, is impressive.
I was surprised because when I saw
I'm pleasantly surprised.
When I saw it at E3 and I had a chance to talk to, there was a, you know, a tester who was playing it and I got to talk to him. I believe his name was like Andrew. I think it was Andrew Hugh,
actually. It was Andrew Hugh.
And he was very nice, very nice, very energetic.
Well, the name like Andrew Hugh, you've got to be nice.
And he had a bright hue about him.
Oh, I saw what you did there.
He didn't spell it like that. I think it was just H-U.
Yes.
But anyway, so I had a lot of questions for him. And I mean, at first when you see Dead Island and you hear about everything they put into it, you're kind of like, aren't you kind of overloading your zombie survival horror? Because I mean, all right, so we've got survival horror. So that means you've got atmosphere, you've got a suspense factor that you have to hit. You've got to make it, you know, make ammo and weapons scarce.
Yep.
You've got to present the threat that, oh my god, I have to make it through this because I'm not just going to walk through it like a cakewalk. And I mean, where I've played a lot of different zombie games, you know, with a lot of different elements of any of those features in their game, you don't find a lot of them that have all of them together.
Right.
Well, anyway, sometimes they overload it, it becomes too busy. A lot of people said that about Left 4 Dead 2, where they finally brought in melee combat, because I mean, in the initial you had guns in the first one, but then they brought in the option to have melee weapons in 2. And a lot of people wanted to see melee weapons in 1, so I mean, they were only listening to their demographic.
To the base, right.
To their fan base. So I mean, I didn't have a problem with it, and I didn't think the learning curve was all that much, any more difficult than it was initially. But a lot of people had some reserves about that. So I was like, alright, so we've got a survival horror game on an island. It's bright daylight, which for most people,
But it's freaky.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing.
I think it's more freaky.
It is, because in my mind, things that go bump in the night happen at night.
Right.
Zombies come out of the dead at night. You never see them coming out during the day. So the fact that you're on a bright, like...
Beautiful island.
Where, you know, you go to escape reality. Well, not this time.
And you've escaped a reality with a new reality.
That
reality is full of zombies.
Full of zombies. But I mean, I thought at E3 that they were doing too much because I'm like, all right, so we've got survival horror, we've got, you know, a shift in the atmosphere in terms of setting and whatnot. We've got these four characters. I'm like, it kind of sounds like Left 4 Dead on an island.
Right.
At first. So I was like,
I think we all had that thought, though. It's like, oh, Dead Island. It's Left 4 Dead on an island.
Left 4 Dead
no.
on an island.
No.
No. And then like, oh, and we have RPG elements in there. I was like, wait a minute.
You put some RPG in my survival horror?
Which is, you don't normally see that.
Right.
You really don't. And I mean, they do have some zombie-like games that have that element in them, like Dead Rising.
Well, talk about the RPG element. So
in the sense, you know, you do have your leveling up tree, like you have your skill set trees, mm-hmm. that with each level you get a skill point for you to put into one of these many facets. You have to kind of choose which set you're going to be in. I know you can intergrade different ones later on down the road when you have enough points to spare, but obviously, straight off the bat, you kind of want to have an idea of where you want to go.
And when you talk about where you want to go, what are
like in types of the trees? So they have like a fury tree, which most of the abilities in your fury pretty much will give you buffs to your party and will make some of your physical attacks
mm-hmm.
more stronger mm-hmm. More strong. And I think after that, there's another one that's survival. So that gives you more passive abilities, so that when you're doing a co-op in Dead Island, you have buffs that will attribute to the whole party.
Okay.
As well as you. And then they have their the combat tree,
which is where you get more specialized skills in whatever your specialty is.
So, right. So the four characters that are in the game, they each actually have their own specialty.
Yeah.
And they have their own basic skill setups, very much like an RPG. So they all have a health meter, they have like an attack gauge or a stamina piece.
Yeah. And, everyone's got different ranges too. Correct. So I mean you've got your firearm specialist who's this aborigine. Her name's Pruna. She's black and all. I think she's like the black Australian. That's what I called her when I first saw her. And then you've got Zian Mei, who is Chinese. I think she's Chinese from Hong Kong, and that would be China. Yes, Panda. Okay.
Panda just had a whole thought process out loud, people.
And she, is a knife specialist, but only edge knives. So, I mean, you will come across knives that are flat, like a cleaver. She's specialized in pointy knives.
Pointy knives.
Pruna is a firearm specialist. And then there's Logan, who I'm not exactly sure since I didn't really look him over too much. But there's him, and he's a football player. So I actually think that he's probably really, really good with, I'm going to assume, the...
projectile?
No, because there aren't any, really, so far.
I mean, you can throw every weapon.
You can pretty much throw every weapon. And then there's Sam B, who is the blunt object specialist. So I think you get your blunt objects, you get your sharp ones.
Yep.
You get your firearms, and then whatever Logan's specialty is.
He's got to be melee, then.
He's got to be just straight up melee, then. So probably hands.
Yeah.
Because you can fight with your fists in this game. So in my initial playthrough down here, because it was Ninja's, you know, condition that if she was going to be awesome enough to, you know, help the poor panda out and buy
don't,
her.
Don't make it sound like my love comes with conditions.
It doesn't.
It was really a request, because I've been very curious about this game. You know, when we first got a look at it at
E3, I know, I was kind of like, I don't know if I'm going to like it.
And, you know, I immediately thought, okay, look, this looks really interesting. Then we all saw the trailer, and I think we collectively as a gaming community all kind of had a moment of wetness.
A lot of people had a moment of what? Because obviously, you know, the trailer showed nothing about the gameplay. So we're like, so are you going to be killing children in this game? Because in the trailer...
It was sad.
Yes.
Okay? It was sad, and that piqued my interest, because I was
so video game makers, make it really unbelievably sad. Throw kids out of windows.
No, that's not what I'm saying. But you have to admit that that trailer was palpable.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
there are very few trailers for games.
I've yet to see a child last in year. My gameplay.
I know, thank God. It's going to happen, I'm sure. But, you know, there are very few times that, you know, you see a game trailer that leaves a emotional...
Film on you.
You know, I think that, you know, Gears does a really good job of...
I like their mad world.
The emotion, it gets across. You get a flicker of what gameplay might be like, but it's more of
It's Gears, so you kind of already know. Well, this is a...
Right.
Is the breaking game of the genre.
But what I'm getting to is, you know, that you get a glimmer of emotionally what they're trying to get across in the story. That doesn't happen a lot of times with games. You know, I think that the Assassin's Creed group does a really good job with their trailers like that. So when I saw the Dead Island trailer, I was like, oh my God, I want to know more. Like, I feel so horrible because I understand exactly what they just showed me happen. And if this is indicative of what's going on in the game, I want to know.
Right.
And at the same time, I had the crisis of conflict of going, but I don't play those types of games.
Well, that's what I'm here for.
So it wasn't a condition of my love. It was just my curiosity. And I know that for me, like, just in what I've watched you play, there's no way that I would have played that far in the game myself.
Probably not.
Okay.
But
unless it was like sunny days like today and I played for like an hour and then just
loads. It's really interesting because there is a learning curve in terms of the game.
And the zombies are smart. They're not dumb zombies.
Oh, it's weird because some of them are still kind of dumb. I mean, I've had a chance to go and actually play it on my Xbox. Because I did play on yours for a couple hours yesterday, and I picked it right back up on mine. But I'm talking my initial playthrough with you. And the learning curve is a little bit different because you are... For one, I find that the prompts for
buttons are kind of small.
They're really small.
So, like, I got taken out by a zombie that I know I could have easily brought down because I didn't recognize
what they were trying to tell
me
to do.
In
the quick time element.
Yeah, and I was like, oh my god, what button is that? And I'm mashing all of them.
I know.
I hit every button on the controller! So I found out it was the bumper. So the bumper icons are a little small, but now that I know what they are, I'm like, oh, okay, so I know what I need to do now. I mean, it is kind of open world, so you can go anywhere in the island. You don't necessarily have to follow the side quests or the main quests.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you've got that objective of the RPG element. They give you a main plot line quest. They give you side quests. They'll get some that you'll only encounter when you enter into an area.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's one called Water Dance that I just came across. I just showed up at a gas station where there had been some water and some power lines that were still active. And I was like, oh, randomly. Okay, I can do this. I'm here. I don't know where I was going anyway. I think I was just exploring. Which, you don't feel like the island is that big. Because, one, it's an island. So it's not like you're going from one piece of a city to another. You're not unlocking.
Right. It's not, you know, like a Grand Theft Auto.
It's like a minier version. It's like Grand Theft Boston. You're in one town. You're in one place. You're not going too far.
It's like Grand Theft Manhattan. You can't get off island. You're not just on Manhattan.
Yeah, you're on Manhattan. But anyway, so the skill sets are pretty easy to learn. There's a lot going on the maps, like on each of the, like, you know, like when you're trying to level up and you're trying to look at your inventory, all those sites, I don't know what they call those, all those, not pages, but,
screens?
Like the, yeah, all those screens. There's a lot going on, so you really have to be looking at everything.
Yeah, those screens definitely remind me of RPG layouts as far as...
Oh, yeah, for sure. So it's like, oh, here's my quest screen. Up here's my map screen. Granted, they do give you a HUD in the game, but, you know, if you don't know what the symbols mean, then you're like, what's that? Oh, I shouldn't have gone over there. Shit. Okay.
Do over.
But these four characters that you do meet, Logan, Pruna... Yeah, I'm going to call her Zhang, and Sam. I thought that they all, I did initially ask at E3 if all four of these characters will come into contact with each other later on in the game. And they don't necessarily do, because you start off the game in the same fashion with each character. You wake up from your room, and you're trying to get out of your room. So they don't really come into contact with each other unless you are playing co-op. And they do make this online, thank God. Currently, right now, it's really kind of buggy. It's a hit or miss if you'll get a full group. I know I was trying to play with Alpha Box over from Super Epic Funtime Show last night. Yeah, from Shifts. And I could get into his game, but he was trying to get another guy into his game, and we couldn't get the third one in. So it was a hit or miss. Now, granted, this morning, I was with my totally cool, awesome London friend, and I got into her game, she came into my game really super fast, and, you know, it's fine, so, I mean, it's really a lot of a draw.
It's probably, I'm gonna say right now, that
a lot of people are having server that load. Issues.
It's probably a server issue. I mean, you know, when we went out to actually pick up the game, we went to, I think, a total, four stops yesterday, and... the first one we went to, it was the last copy.
It was the last it was the last Xbox copy.
Yeah, so we only had two PS3 copies left.
But I'm just saying,
right?
The Xboxes were the people are getting it for their Xbox over
there.
The
Target we went to had no copies of
they
it.
They were sold out.
The Walmart we went to had no copies of it.
No.
So, you know, like I said, I think collectively the community was like, we want in on this game, and so I think probably for multiplayer, seeing as how
I think it's the multiplayer that really is bringing people into this game, because I mean, you can drop in and drop out
when it works.
But
I think the servers are overloaded because everybody's playing this game.
Everyone, yeah, I think so too.
Or they're in Netflix, at least according to my friends list on Xbox.
Yeah, a lot of my friends are either watching Netflix or playing Dead Island.
So
that, and that's okay.
It's cool.
Pick your poison.
But expect for there to be server issues.
But let me talk a little bit about the story.
Go ahead, talk about the story.
So, I mean, yeah, we're on an island. I mean, each of your characters has a different reason for being on the island.
Yes.
For Pruna, who's the Aborigine.
Yep.
She's considered a bodyguard for rich people who come to the island. So. But she's kind of bitter because, you know, a lot of people didn't care for her in South Wales, because that's where she came from. And they didn't like the fact that she was a chick, and she made detective. in their police force. And they didn't like that, oh, you're a girl and you're an Aborigine and, you know, glass ceiling and blah, blah. So she's got a huge chip on her shoulder. Duly noted. Okay? She's got an attitude and she doesn't like that she's on this island being this bodyguard because, you know, she doesn't like that she's serving the people who have, fucked her over all this time.
But she also needs money.
Yeah. So she's willing to do it because it pays her bills. You know, right. And, you know, she still gets to do some aspect of what she's been training all of her life to do. Zane. How do you say that? X-I-A-N.
Sun?
Whatever. The Chinese chick. I'm just going to call her X.
Zhan.
Yeah, Zhan. She came from a pretty well-known family in Hong Kong. And, you know, her father taught her, like...
The art of the knife.
And just basic, you know, kung fu-y, karate, taekwondo-y stuff.
Martial arts.
More or less. And he died, and she joined the Hong Kong police.
Yep.
And she got selected for the special force of all women, but then she found out that it was just a show. It was for show, and she was pretty pissed off about that because she has this strong sense of... Dare I say honor? And,
dare you say honor?
And she has this strong sense of justice that she wants to do this job. Like, she doesn't want to be just a pretty face in a uniform.
Yep.
So she wants to prove herself.
Yep.
So, this special elite force sent her to this island to spy on
Americans.
On rich Americans. Or, you know, just rich. You know,
but Americans.
Socialites who are in the area.
Uh-huh, Americans.
She doesn't like that she was sent for this mission, but she's going to do it because she's not a whistleblower.
Bound by duty.
She is, more or less. Then you've got Logan, who, like I said, was an athlete, did pro ball, kind of got hurt doing pro ball, so he had to stop doing pro ball, and he's kind of angry about it.
He's bitter.
And what goes well with a bitter attitude than, you know...
Jack Daniels!
Yeah, alcohol. So, I mean, he's just there on this... I think he was there on the island for, like, a blood drive.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow.
He's going to be the spokesperson.
Yeah. Bring more people in. Because he still has, you know, some type of credibility as a athlete.
Awesome ball player.
And then you've got Sam B, who is a one-hit wonder in the rap world.
Yep.
Voodoo,
bitch!
And let me tell you, I'm very surprised because, I mean, with these bios, you actually hear your character, so it's not just, like, the bio screen and, like, a lot of text.
Yeah.
They actually gave them each voices, and they each are very unique from the other.
Yep.
And, I mean, he came off, right off the bat, before I even read it, I was like, oh, you're from New Orleans. And I'm like, yep.
That's right, voodoo, that's the voodoo, bitch.
Well, yeah, in New Orleans?
Duh.
They got voodoo down there. But anyway, they got bad juju.
Screaming Jay Hawkins looking motherfucker. But go ahead.
But anyway, so I mean, he came up pretty hard, you know, and rough down in New Orleans.
Rough!
You know, and he wanted to be a rapper, and, you know, jokingly, he came up with this one song that you just heard Ninja talk about.
Yep.
And it shot him up to fame.
Yep.
And then he thought, oh, I've made it. And
yep.
It
blew nothing, all his money.
Nothing else worked.
And now he's doing the cruise ship tour.
Now the only... Yes. And now...
Hey, I paid attention while you were going through it.
So, I mean, the only thing that he ever gets hired for is for this one time...
Who do your voodoo, bitch?
You know, song. So he's hoping that, you know, this island tour or whatever will get noticed again. Because, you know, people be coming in and out, you know, and this might be a
famous
good time.
Famous peoples.
So, I mean, these
He's four, hoping Jigga will be on the island.
He ain't.
Sign him to Rockefeller Records.
He ain't. But regardless. So, I mean, those are your characters. And I mean, like I said, they don't, so far, their characters don't seem to play out into any, like, specialized quest, like, anything that's, like, particular to their character yet. I'm not sure if that's gonna change in later chapters. Cause, I mean, it's not like, you know, Logan came to the island with his wife and his kid. Like, these all seem to be, like, four single, you know, relatively young people who just happen to be at the wrong place. At the wrong fucking time.
Yeah, that's one thing that I'm curious to see unfold in the game is, you know, because none of them seem to have families or really backgrounds, it almost makes them, you know, disposable characters. And yet, because of the way their backstories are told and laid out, if you pay attention, and then that they're not independent as far as, you know, when you start, whether you pick... You know, Logan, or you pick Jean, you still start the same way, and the story still proceeds the same way. There's no different. It's not like you start on different points of the island.
No,
it, same it place. Definitely seems like there's not going to be a collision of all of them together.
No,
but what I think that does is it allows you to really, because the world is so open in the game, not feel like on the completionist tip that you have to play it through with everyone because you might get a different story. It is you know, who do you want to be and get through,
right.
hopefully,
the Well, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if later on down the road, like I said, I'm only in chapter two on both your playthrough and mine, because I'm probably simultaneously.
Yeah. I got you.
Thanks. That word, going to be playing her character on hers and mine. And I wouldn't be surprised if later on we might see a variation, but only near the very end, because, I mean, there's the same quest will apply to everyone up until the very end, because these four characters seem to be immune to whatever this virus outbreak thing is, which they do explain at the beginning of the game, because you get chewed the fuck up.
Yeah, you do.
You make it to go find a weapon, and you get to chew the fuck up.
Yep.
But you come to, and then, you know, there's this random voice, very hot Australian voice, who's kind of like, I can see you through the video, and he's kind of like a recluse surrounded by, he's like the architect from The Matrix. You see a chair and all these screens, but you don't see him, really. So I'm like, aw, shit, we're in The Matrix.
Well, here's the thing. My dumbass went, is this gonna be like BioShock and the voice on the other end of the microphone is actually a crazy fuck?
I don't know. Because, I mean, this guy's kind of like, I can help you guys get off this island, but you gotta get to me. And then, of course, the signal breaks, so you don't know where the fuck he is.
Right.
On the island.
Nope.
So, you know, everyone who you're with at first, they're all like, we will get infected, but when you get bit, it doesn't affect you. So, for these four people, I don't know how these four people got in contact with whatever it was that makes them immune.
Yep.
So I'm hoping that they'll branch that out so you'll figure out why. Because I don't think they all went to high school together. I don't think they got the flu shots together.
No.
You know, so I mean there's something else there.
And their backgrounds are so
different. So there's no way that, you know, Sandy would have met
cop, a rapper. Aborigine, former cop.
Yeah, former cop,
who's and
now a bodyguard.
And a ball player, former ball player.
Would all be at the same, maybe they all went to the same, you know, Olive Doctor? Garden and ate some salad.
Maybe they got the same never-ending pasta bowl.
Maybe. I don't know. But hopefully we'll figure that out. What makes you
immune to the zombie virus. Which, if that's the case, we gotta get to an Olive Garden.
Well, we do have one now in the area. But still, don't know what that tying factor is. But it's pretty much up to you, really, to save this whole island, because apparently you are the only person on the island who can combat the zombies, get beaten up, and not, you know, become a zombie.
Yeah.
Though they have a lot of escort quests where, you know, you're saving somebody and bringing them back
to life. So much escorting.
Well, I mean, and granted, I've only contacted one, but I've heard that there's been several. There's a lot of, oh, go get this for me. Yeah. Type of quest.
Which, I left this behind. Could you go out to the zombie bitch. Horde and get that for me?
Yeah, one bitch was like, I have this necklace. My husband gave it to me. I'm like, bitch, if it was that important, you would have had it around your neck when you ran.
Exactly.
You know, but apparently I was talking to my London friend, and apparently there's a quest later on that this chick's like, and it's not even like a kid, it's like a grown-ass woman who's like, there's this teddy bear. And I'm like, what? I am going out into the zombie horde for a fucking teddy bear? You know, but apparently...
A sucker better be made of gold.
But apparently... No. And the funny thing is, apparently this bear is out there, and when you get to it, there's, like, a guy who's slightly infected, so he's just beginning to turn. But he's not, you know, he's not slow. He's pretty cognizant. And apparently he's got this huge-ass machete, and he can cut you down really fast. Like, he goes pretty... He's really fast, so I think he's got a lot of stamina. And she's like, yeah. And she's like, I was expecting to be able to run around and grab it and run out. And this guy, like, shanked her in the back. And I said, whoa. I'm like, all this for a... I'm like, fucking go back to Build-A-Bear. Make yourself a new one.
Dude, you can totally make an
awesome Dude, think about just surviving and get off the island. Once we get... I'm like, I'll buy you 15 new teddy bears.
I will take your ass to FAO Schwartz myself.
So it's like, come on. So some of the quests are a little ridiculous. From that sound alone... I'm like, if you're trying to survive on this island, it's not like, you know, Resident Evil where you've got special combat training. I mean, literally, you're walking around with oars, like paddles, and you're just beating the shit out of zombies. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, okay, if I was on an island, like, the last thing that I'd want to use are paddles to boats. Because by the time I'm about to leave to get on this boat,
I ain't got no paddles. Going to be like this.
And then you don't get a bucket. Because I've heard that there are some zombies that are floating in water. So you don't even want to put your hand in the water because there might be a zombie in it.
All right, so let's talk about some of the little things that I've noticed about this game that, you know, irk me one way or another.
Right.
Okay, so the first thing, the controls are wicked sensitive.
I'm talking about me,
what I've noticed, because I haven't touched it. Okay, so for instance, when we were going through your gameplay, okay, the one thing that I noticed that would definitely irk me is that with the sensitivity, I mean that, you know, you go to look one way, and when you're expecting to maybe only look maybe an inch or two to your right, you're flying, like, all the way around.
Now, that's just the way that I play. I like to encompass. I'm like an owl. I'm gonna pretty much bring my head all the way around until I snap it.
You owl even in your video games. But the games definitely seems to be very sensitive, and so that would be something that I would have difficulty with. And, you know, I haven't explored yet whether or not you can change that in the options or not.
I'm playing naked. I'm not changing anything yet.
You're in the nude when you play. Another thing that I've noticed, just for me, you've talked a little bit about it with the visual cues not necessarily being
big enough to know that that's a trigger and not a bumper. Enough.
Because here's one of my major issues with a lot of the survival games is that they don't make it blatantly obvious what you need to do. And if you're putting me in a situation where I'm going to be scared to be
begin with... Well, that's the point. If they made it blatant, it's like, go through this door. Like, if they put the door in, like, blue and say, enter.
Like, I'm not saying, like, put the door in blue. For instance, the way that they highlight weapons that you can use. I like that because it makes it very clear to me, okay, this is an item that I actually should focus on because I'm probably going to want to interact with it. Okay? The gears that they put on to elements that you can open so that you can, you know, rifle through things, because there's also a build-a-weapon component.
Yeah, that I still haven't had a chance to really go
into in the game
yet.
That I think will probably become very important and then adds another Dead Rising type element.
Yes, it does.
To the game. But at the same time, you know, there are times where the HUD, I think, that exists, like, especially for the map, is almost too subtle. You know, there are times where we're trying to figure out where you're supposed to go, and again, where the sensitivity is, you're looking at a line that looks like it's actually straight from where you are, but actually, no, it's about a 22 degree off to the left, and you don't realize it until you're halfway up the road.
Yeah.
You know, those kinds of things are things that would definitely irk me, because, you know,
it's got a Pac-Man element to it, because it's a dot, there are dots that make the lines. So you're like, num, num. So if you're not following the line, you just make more of them. And I'm like, it told me to go this way. Nope, it changed its mind.
Yeah.
It says you need to go the other way. But there are zombies that will know shit.
You know, so that's definitely, you know, one of the things that irks me. And, you know, I think the only other thing that really right now, as far as the gameplay goes, that irks me is that, you know, where it comes to some of your side quests, they don't necessarily seem to really, other than the XP gain that you get off of them, add a lot to what's going
on. No, this is a grind. You need to grind it out. Honestly, I think Dead Island is essentially,
it's like a grindhouse. It's
Borderlands with zombies on an island.
It's Borderlands with zombies.
Yeah, because Borderlands, you essentially are just running around this, you know, this planet, not really knowing what you're going to expect on it, and you're just leveling up so that, God forbid, you come into something that requires you to be a higher level. It's a grind. It's a grind. And it's not, and this is not a bad grind, because I love Borderlands. I played three times.
I'm looking forward to Borderlands too. Are you kidding me?
So, I mean, holy F-balls. Sometimes a game that's
all
grinding.
Are you going to actually play with me?
Borderlands?
Yes.
Two?
Yes.
Yeah? Yes? Yes? Yes, I'll play that, but I have to be the siren if we get sirens again.
All right, fine.
That's fine. That's fine for me. Not a big deal.
I have no issue with that.
But this feels like Borderlands with zombies, you know. And I do like the fact that they really stepped up the element of, you know, suspense and, you know, having to be prepared at all times. Because, I mean, in other zombie games, oh, you know, if you're playing co-op and your friend gets, you know, taken down, all you have to do is pick them up. They're fine. No. Not anymore. For one, you maybe got a 4-second gap when your partner goes down to get them, get back to them. And even if you get back to them, if you don't have a med kit with you, so you have to have the essential components to help somebody, then they'll sit there and die regardless. And I was like, oh, really? Like, I was so surprised at that. Because, you know, like in Resident
Evil... Wait, I thought that you were immune to the...
You're immune to turning into a zombie, but they can still kill you.
Oh, I don't like that.
You just don't turn. You just don't turn into a zombie. So you're like, you're the exception to the rule. If you get bit, you don't turn into a zombie, but if enough bites will still bleed you out.
Right.
You know, but I was,
and
you know,
no regen.
But I have heard that, yeah, you don't get a regen ability, no.
See, I'm
and you have to have a med kit with you, and like I said, you have to be, like, really close to your co-op, you know, people in order for that to even work. Like I said, I haven't had a full party yet. I've only been able to play with one other person. And you can have multiple people in your party as the same character, which I don't think should happen.
It's like the, Uncharted.
Yeah, you could have player. You could have two Drakes, which doesn't make any sense. There should only be one.
I want a whole team full of what's-her-faces.
Chloe.
Yes.
But yeah, so I mean, I don't think that should be the case. I actually think that if you're having a full team, it should be the four individuals. You know?
I don't know. It, you know, it really depends. You know, if I... It's one of the things on multiplayer that I always take issue with, is if I'm really good with one type of character, I always dislike it tremendously. I don't want to say hate, but I strongly dislike it when I jump into a multiplayer and because somebody else jumped in right before me, they're able to pick that person, and now I have to play with somebody whose skill set I may not know very well because they're not my go-to player. So it's one of the things that I liked about Uncharted is if I was better with Drake, I didn't have to be relegated to Chloe because somebody else on the team already picked Drake.
There's not a difference, though, between sets, though, in Uncharted. Like, in the multiplayer of Uncharted,
you don't... I always find Drake to be a little bit faster than Chloe as far as, like, running and ducking.
No, that's just a matter of how much you pump your button, sweetheart. There's no difference.
I pump my button great.
I'm sure you do. But there is no speed difference between them. Because then they would have to tell you when you were selecting that. I mean, unless you souped them up to do that, because you can, you know, build them up and stuff like that, their weapons and stuff. But I don't think you can do that for the characters. But, I mean, in this game, they already tell you right off the bat who's got more stamina, what their specialties are.
Right, but what I'm saying is in some multiplayer facets that are thrown in on games, they don't necessarily tell you someone's stats that they're a, you know, fast runner. It's assumed that if they're the thief type, that they're quick, they're nimble, and this. If they're, you know, the firearms type, that they're good with guns, but they may not necessarily run as fast. They're more balanced players. So sometimes in multiplayer, inherent things that happen just because of the class of the person,
right,
that they don't give you the specs that read out, and then you jump in, and then you find out, oh, wait, I'm faster with this person. So for instance, like in Brotherhood's multiplayer, okay, courtesans, no matter, I don't care who the F you are, courtesans do not run as fast as anybody else.
Now, you see, that's really funny because hoes of this time, they run fast.
They are fast and in heels, okay? When you're trying to chase somebody down because they've spotted you, which happens to me all the time, if you're a courtesan, you're not going to catch them. They're going to get to a hiding space before you can catch them because those bitches run slow as fuck.
So I didn't play it. I don't know.
Well, saying.
But anyway.
So.
But in this game, they highlight that, so you should know that. So, I mean, in my recommendation for that, I'm like, if you manage to have one of those awesome connections that allows you to team up with three of your closest buds who are playing the game, find out who's been playing who. Who likes who better. Like, I mean, I started off with the Aborigine in your gameplay, because I thought, oh my god, firearm specialist, probably the best in terms of combat, because that gives you a range. So you don't have to be up close. You don't have to do a lot of melee. But there's barely any guns on the fucking island.
It's a resort. You don't bring a Tech-9 to,
I'm sorry,
you know,
Sam
sandals.
Sam B being a rapper, no, he should have had a Gat.
They probably took it from him when he got on the
plane.
But
regardless. So you got this firearm specialist who doesn't even have to carry her own gun.
Dude, here's the thing. She's a bodyguard on basically Club Med. Who would think, you know what, I should probably bring my AK with me when I go to Club Med, because you don't know when shit might jump off. Well, in the future,
I'm bringing my gun with me on vacation. Because you can never be
bitch,
too sure.
You don't even have a gun.
I'm getting a gun to take on vacation. But anyway. But no, like, it's shocking to me because of my arts. We have this specialized, you know, person, but you don't get guns until way later. Like, they're really hard to come by. And I'm like, so we have a specialist with none of her traits on the fucking island.
That's right.
I'm like, really? You're gonna make her a powerful, strong individual and not give her her specialty weapon? That's like not giving Yuna her staff in Final Fantasy X. Then how the fuck is she gonna do a dance that's different without something to, like, be the pointer for her dance? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. So I'm like, you know, bitch, gotta so in my second staff. Play, I played Zhang, you know, on my, yeah, Zhang, whatever. I'll say Zhang. You know, because that's a point, and I found pointy knives everywhere. Like, knives just be everywhere, because, I mean, people be cutting. You know, meat and
that's
shit.
That's right, because they're preparing delicious meals on the island.
Yeah. So, I mean, that seems more... but, I mean, get a decent group. You know, get your buds together and say, hey, who wants to be the useless one? I guess that'll be me, because we ain't gonna find no guns. You know, and get, you know, everyone to be every different character. Only because that way you get a whole balance. So then you don't have people fighting for different weapons. Like, I found that enhanced paddle. No, I found it. So let's duke it out. Over this, nah. Just get everybody who has a specialized thing and then utilize your special talent. Which means the black chick will just drive the car because the rest of your team will be pwning shit. You know, but I thoroughly do like it right now. I do want to play more multi. I do want to get a whole group together to see how having multiple people will benefit. Outside of the fact that when one person gets taken down, there's a likelier chance that you'll get saved. But, It's refreshing in terms of the suspense horror genre for me, because I don't feel like I'm too souped up, like I'm not too super specialized.
Right.
No, like, I feel like I'm just a random person who just happens to be in a really crappy situation. And having to think on my feet and say, alright, what can I use as a weapon that will be beneficial to me at this point right now? And I love that. That's what I really like about it.
Yeah, it's very interesting. You know, in watching you play, there were moments where I was like, you know what, I think I could actually play this. I would have to do it, you know, again, like I said.
And then a zombie would come out of nowhere and she would jump and I'd be like, I knew that was coming.
I know. I'm not even gonna lie. I was kind of a little bit of a bitch. Because here's the thing.
She's like, there's a zombie!
Well,
like,
no,
there's zombies everywhere.
Dude, that's not what I said. What did I say? Because here's one of the things that I'm like, oh, you fuckers, you got me. There are zombies. There are, well, what you think are corpses strewn all over this island, okay? And they're not moving. And so you think, oh, wow, that's a dead zombie. Because there are dead ones. But not all of them are dead. No. Some of them are actually just plain possum. Again, fucking smart zombies.
Yeah.
Okay, and they're not all slow, like,
No, some of them have stamina. So some of them will charge you.
So some of them charge you, and they can, like, smack and double smack. And
some
you're
of
like,
them
what the
actually
hell?
Have weapons. Like,
some have weapons. I remember the first zombie that came at you with a knife. You're like, what the fuck is this? I'm like, it's a zombie with a knife.
Yeah. Granted, I've noticed that there are some zombies that actually have, like, weapons in them.
Yes.
Like, that you can pull out and then use. So that would definitely happen.
That was brilliant. You know, bonus points for that. But, you know, there was this one thing where I was like, look, you're walking into a room, it's a small space. I'm like, so this is what's going to happen. Like, before you even walked in there, I said, you're going to walk in there, there's not going to be anything there, and you're going to turn around, it's going to be right on you. And you're like, nuh-uh, and you turn around, like, fucking zombie in your face. I was see? Not right. Because your characters, and I think that this is a good thing, the characters in the game, like you say, are not super specialized. So they're not super fast. They're not super strong. So if there's something that's straight up on you, you know, you have to button mash because that first hit...
Isn't going to do it.
Isn't going to push him back so you can have a moment to think and be like, all right, now I'm going to kick you and you're going to be stunned.
Well, that's the thing. And I'm glad that they did this because they actually do give you the ability to kick them away.
Yep.
Weaker zombies are more prone to when you kick them that they will fall down.
Yep.
There are stronger ones called Thugs Look, like the one that we encountered on the top of the gas station.
Yes.
They are bigger. They do a lot more damage. They will stun you. They will knock you down.
Yep.
Like
the one that knocked you off the building into the electrical fire.
No, I wasn't in the electrical.
Oh, no, you went towards the gas station.
Yeah, I was closer to where it wasn't. So, right. I mean, I just fell off a building.
Yeah, you got knocked.
I got the fuck out. The but, I mean, there are going to be more specialized zombies later on, I did hear. So I'm looking forward to seeing how I'm gonna balance off and, you know, change my fighting mechanic to that.
Like, yeah,
my
there's fighting definitely for that. Strategy involved. I have to say that it is a very well-rounded game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That happens to be survival horror at its core, but it is a very well-rounded game. The story is actually very palpable, very attractive, and deep for a survival horror. You know, I mean, for me, really, the only deep stories around survival horror really have been the Resident Evil series for me.
Silent Hill was very deep, too, but that was more psychological.
That was more psychological. You know, Resident Evil definitely had some, you know, evil corporation against just normal people and them getting
fucked. Oh, no, they weren't normal. They were specialized task force.
I'm talking about the normal people getting fucked. You know, the people who were in the cities.
Oh, well, you didn't play a normal person. You played someone in the specialized force.
Right, but the normal, there were people in normal cities that got fucked over because of the virus, yeah. Right? Yeah. And so you had that, you know, evil corporation not caring, little guy getting screwed, specialized, you know, forces coming in and trying to right the wrong. I like that.
Well,
as opposed to, you know, a thing like a House of the Dead or, you know, even a Fatal Frame was, there are ghosts and you have a camera.
Oh, no. There's a deeper story for you to find, too.
I'm getting there. But, you know, when you look at where we've come from survival horror of just being things jumping out at you to now something like a Dead Island that has a very rich story, a very well thought out and presented protagonists, very interesting scare tactics as far as, you know, zombies.
I actually think they brought a spot of realism to the survival horror in this game. Like I said, because you're pretty much a regular human with maybe some enhanced knowledge of combat.
Right.
You know, but you're still, you're not Chris Redfield punching boulders into lava.
No.
No, I know.
You're not.
Like, I can't open a door without my partner, but I can punch a boulder into lava so
I know, jump what on is it. Up with that?
Loophole, but whatever.
Right.
Whatever. I'll disband my belief. Just a little bit.
Fucking punch rocks into lava.
Not a rock, boulder! Dude, it was a boulder!
But I can't turn a doorknob to save my
life. Oh, no, he can turn doorknobs, but he can't push on a door without Sheva there with her big booty
to help. I need the power behind your ass to open this door.
So I like that. And the fact that, you know, all bets are off. You know, the sun is up, you think you're safe, and you're not.
Because, and the water looks great until,
water.
You know, it's filled with corpses.
Or it's filled with blood.
Yeah.
That pool was like,
I know,
oh,
I felt
shit.
So bad for that guy.
I didn't, because he killed them, but they were zombies, so I mean, he
I know,
had to
but
do
it
what
was his
do.
Mom and his dad and
it
his
was,
wife.
It was, no, his wife and his mom and his brother.
I thought it was his mom and dad, too.
No.
I thought he said
no.
That.
He's like, my wife and my dad and my fucking brother. I'm like, of all the ones to be sad about, you're sad more that you, like, shanked your brother?
Hey, bros before hoes.
Bros before dads, apparently. Well, even though your dad brought you life.
Hey, but sometimes dads can be douchebags.
Apparently so. But I'll probably be talking more and more about this game.
And more.
With a little bit more on the side.
On the side.
When I progress furthermore into the game more.
More.
And more, more, more. More.
More.
More. More. And that's all I've been playing. So don't ask me.
Yeah, don't.
Pretty much for the next month, if you're like, hey, Panda, what you playing? I'm like, why the fuck are you asking me?
Hey, Panda, what you playing?
What was I playing last week, Timmy?
Dead
Island? Yeah, that's what I'm fucking playing right now, Timmy. Go make me a sandwich. It's like, I haven't eaten in a day. Make me a sandwich.
So, obviously, we recommend the game. Okay, getting... All right, so, my segment, which I'm going to do as quickly as possible... I actually haven't gotten any time to really game, except for my blowing Steam day, where I just kind of went into Rock Band and,
Yeah, no, I went to sleep on the third floor and heard it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I tried to turn it down.
No. That's all right, because it was a good song. I was like, yep, she's singing it out.
Was it the Fleetwood Mac section? Or was it the Talking Heads one?
I think it was Mac.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, she had a rough
day. Yeah, when I have a rough day, that's so bad. When I have a rough day, I literally come home and I jump into DJ Hero for like 15 minutes.
I heard some of the DJ Hero too.
I jump out of DJ Hero and then I go into Rock Band singing.
Yeah, and I have a certain
microphone. Yeah, I have certain playlists that I put together where I just sing it out so I can scream and yell and get it out.
I'm here to remind you!
Yeah, I do that one. I do Rehab. I do a Fleetwood Mac set, which usually has at least Dreams or Landslide in it. Then I do a Bowie set, and then I close it out with a Talking Head set. And I'm like, alright, I'm good. Then I can be in my happy place.
But anyway.
But I haven't really played anything other than that for quite some time. So I have been watching a lot of anime. Typically between 10:30 and midnight at night. And I actually bumped into, I have to say, Netflix. You know, definitely their algorithm is getting better for suggesting things to me because it suggested something and it was absolutely right on point with that. And so it suggested an anime series called Dance and the Vampire Bund. And, you know, I'm a chick, so obviously, yeah, duh, I love vampires, right? Which is true. So I'm like, all right.
Wait, that's on Netflix or is that on Crunchyroll?
Dance of the Vampire Bones on Netflix. That's why I told you, you need to get up on that.
Get up on this.
You are about to be my push notification, so you need to stop it. I'm not joking with that. So the artwork looks great, and of course the cover is a very, you know, lowly style chick, and by I mean lowly as in Lolita, not lowly as like down low.
Well, she's down low.
We'll get there. So the opening episode is interesting. It starts off with what appears to be like some type of game show, and it's called The Scales of Astraea, and it kind of starts with
it's pretty much a fact or crap.
It is. It has a.
Let's not even break it down in an episode. Let's just give them the premise of the show.
Well, alright. Well, I don't want to give too much. Fuck it, I'm going to spoil it. Okay, so here's the deal. A chick gets attacked. She has two puncture holes in her neck. And they're exploring, you know, do vampires really exist? And the reason why I bring up, you know, and trying to run through the first episode is because the first episode basically is the introduction.
You talk about the first episode of every anime that you watch.
I do, because the ones that I talk about are the ones that I think that do a really good job of setting up what they're going to be about in their first episode. Because let's face it, there are a lot of anime series where the first episode, once you get like three more episodes in, actually had no bearing on where the fuck this anime was going.
Right.
But I mean, Without Wings Underneath the Starry Sky.
But that's because it was
based innocent off Starry of, Sky.
Innocent Sky.
Unobtrusive, innocent, opposite blue sky.
The obtuse sky.
The obtuse sky.
The
We're without
the
wings microwave underneath the microwave. Sky. The microwave filled.
Regardless.
Ozone.
But no,
lacking.
I mean.
Alright, so anyway, you're introduced to vampires. And it's not that they're just, you know, hey, we're vampires and they exist in the world, but there's actually a society. There is a ruling family. You are introduced to the ruler of the vampire society. Princess Mina, who is the actual lowly girl. So she looks like she's seven.
She's actually about seven or eight.
Yeah, she's actually hundreds of years old.
She's like 400 years
old. Here's the thing about Dance and the Vampire Bund, okay? There was a lot of controversy around it. Because it was a manga. It became an anime series. 12 episodes were done. Funimation actually picked up the distribution rights. They first saw the first seven episodes. And in order to distribute them in the U.S., highly, highly edited them. Because Dance in the Vampire Bund, I think if you were to classify it, a lot of people would call it ecchi, because there's lots of boobs. There's lots of boobs. Here's the thing. Really, it goes past ecchi, and if you get into some of the manga, it like just is a hair shy of hentai at times, because there are many vampires who have a young young appearance. But because they are vampire, they are undead, they are hundreds of years old, have the mentality and the maturity of being around that long, so they do screw, like, often. So, I said I was going to spoil stuff. Mina is in love with Akira. Akira does not...
is the main protagonist guy who has amnesia but starts getting pieces of his memory back. And you find out that he's quite special himself.
Yes.
In whatever facet that might be.
Through the series... No, I'm spoiling it. We're done. It's going to happen. Through the series, you actually explore and you find out that not only vampires exist, but werewolves exist. And very much like in Vampire Lore that we know...
Twilight!
No, not like Twilight.
Twilight! Ow!
Not like Twilight, but very much like the Vampire Lore that we all know. So more in like... Underworld.
Werewolves.
Yes. The werewolves are the servants and protectors of many of the vampire clans. Specifically, Mina's clan, which is derived from the original Nosferatu line, which is why her blood lineage
and
is
Vlad like the Impaler.
Okay. So Akira was her protector. Something bad happened to him. He forgot. Everybody told Mina he was dead. She was like distraught because she's actually in love with him, but they can never be together because
she hearts furries.
She does. Well, she hearts a specific furry,
a particular furry.
Yes, one very special furry. But you go through it. There's slapstick elements of it because she goes to the school and there's all kinds of weirdness there. There's a human girl who's also in love with Akira. Down the road, Mina and she actually become friends. Because they have this shared love.
Yeah, until eventually they realize that they're gonna... No.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
So they share?
Nope. The human girl's just like, he loves you more. He made the promise, you know, to you more. And so I'll just love him. But you and I will be friends. And so that's why she's the narrator of this story.
Oh.
Because she writes the story. You get down the road. You get some more memories back. So here's where it takes a turn. Again, because many of the characters are very youngish, Funimation actually waited to decide whether or not they were going to release the last five episodes. If they were going to release the last five episodes of the 12-episode arc, unedited or edited, as they waited for the content to come in, because this actually aired in 2010. And so... there were a lot of people that wrote in and said, look, we want to see this. We want to see it the way it is. We're all adults here. Don't censor it. So there are censored versions and uncensored versions that are floating around. I will tell you right now that a lot of the versions of Dance and the Vampire Bun that are on Hulu are censored more than the versions that are on Netflix.
So if you want to see more, go to Netflix.
For instance, there's a character who gets turned into a vampire. Against her will.
Is it the glasses chick?
We find out that the glasses chick has a dark secret. She's really, really in love, desperate in love with her neighbor.
Uh-huh. Is it a chick?
No.
Oh.
He's a 10-year-old boy.
Whoa.
And when she turns, she becomes obsessed with him. So much so that one night she breaks into his room and proceeds to...
rape him?
Yes, until her fangs pop out and then she feels all bad. Like, you know, they do the thing in hentai where they do that kiss and, like, the saliva still strips from, like, his lip to hers. And he's all, like, blushing and hasn't had a second to, like, say anything. And she's got her hands down his pants and then her fangs pop out and she's like... ah! And she, because he gets all scared and, like, grabs a sheet like he's getting ready to, you know, do something. She jumps off him and she's like, oh my god! And she jumps out the window. He's like, no, come back! And he was like, you're 10. What are you, why?
Hey. The equipment works. The equipment kind of works.
He's 10 and she's an undead vampire over 18. Because she's a senior.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. All right. So then I was just like, wait a minute.
But if she's a vampire, can't she go and change her form so that she can look
younger? She hasn't learned that yet. Remember, she was just newly made.
That's right.
Right? So, that's the beginning of one of the episodes. And I saw that, I was like, wait a minute. I didn't just see that. So I hit the rewind button to go back. I was like, let me watch that again. Because he can't be that young. Like, at first I thought it was a girl, and I was like, okay, well, girl on girl and they're younger. Like, I don't have a problem with that. But I watched it again, and I was like, no, that's definitely a boy.
He's got some like, shota.
He is, like, totally 9 or 10. Like, that is way...
Way not too young.
Right.
Way too young for this age bracket. Like, right? If she were, like...
So you get through the episode, and you get towards the end, and Mina's there, and she's like, just kill me. And she goes... And she's like, I know it's her being a vampire. She's like, no. She goes, you know, I'm not even, you know, upset about being the vampire thing anymore. But, you know, I have this craving and it's so wrong and I can't control it. Just kill me. Just kill me before I do something really inappropriate to, I think his name is like, Nota or Shota or some, you know, Shinobu or some shit. He's like a cute, it's a cute little name, right? And so then he shows up and he's like, Nanami! And she's like, no! I don't want you to see me like this! And like, she runs off with this other vampire. And so there's like this whole thing. And then you get into like the next episode and there's gonna be like an explosion and there's more vampire infighting or whatever. But then you see Nanami and you're like, what's going on here? Cause she's bound and naked in a church. You're like, what? What's going on here? Oh, it's a rape scene. Okay, but they cut away for most of it. But you see the silhouettes, you know what's going on. So you go a little bit more in the episode, and Mina's talking to the little boy. He's like, look, you're the only one that can save her because this is what's going on. She's obsessed with something. And you know, when vampires become obsessed with something, it's the only thing that is more powerful than the duty that they feel being bound to their master. And so the little boy's like, she's obsessed with me, isn't she? And she's like, yeah, and so you're the only one that can save him. So they go into this whole thing, and the boy shows up, and she's there, and she's getting ready to blow something up. He's like, just come to me. You want me, right? So just come and take me. And I'm like, you're 10! What the fuck are you saying?
Why didn't she just get taught how to make herself look younger so it'd be okay?
Because her new master didn't want to do that. Her new master wanted her to use herself to blow up a bunch of people.
Oh, okay.
Okay? So she goes with the boy and whatever, and he's like, I'm so sorry, Nanami. And he stabs her with a stake. But it's not a stake through the heart. It's a stake that has blood from Mina. So she now has Mina's blood, so she's now Mina's
servant
and not this other chick.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so they go through, they win, blah, blah, blah. And then Mina comes and tells the little boy, okay, you know, you need to say your goodbyes to Nanami because she's going to come work for me and be in the Bund, and every vampire that I put in the Bund can never come out. So this will be the last time that, you know, you ever see her. And so he goes and runs and talks to one of her servants and is like, so do you ever regret being a vampire? And she's like, not for 1 minute. So then the next scene is as Mina's talking about other things that are going to happen, you see the little boy like rip open his shirt and you don't hear anything, but he says something to Nanami. Nanami licks his nipple. Then she makes him
a vampire.
And then they fuck.
So she makes him a vampire so that he can screw?
Even though for eternity.
Yep.
And he's like, I mean, and he's getting it. And he's like, like, he's really into the kissing. And he's like, he's 10, and you're 18. I know that
you're... But what if his true form is like a hot 18-year-old boy?
Well, maybe, but we're not even there yet, because the end of the episode is... Okay, shirt rips open, he says yes, she smiles, licks his nipple, then they start kissing, hands go all over the place, then she makes him, then you see him getting all blushy, and then you see him on top of her, and then it pans away and just like,
he's too small to be on top of her.
This is what I'm thinking, right? And so then he's like, okay, I have to
do... He's like a Snuggie for her vagina.
I was just like, wait a minute, okay, I have to process this. Okay, I know that they're now both vampires, but she was made a vampire at the point that she was 18. He was now just made a vampire at the point that he was 10. So it's still...
It's illegal!
It's still freaking illegal!
It's statutory rape!
And then the next episode starts and they're all at a pool and then he's got like on an inner tube because she's teaching him how to swim.
Oh, that's...
And he's like, no! No! Bad wrong! That's badong! Very badong! So, if you get past that stuff,
you can't.
Because there's a couple more things like that happen. The anime series itself is actually kind of deep. And I'm really sad that it ended at 12. Because
there'd be so many other things I'd have to start incorporating. And
Does
Mina ever get it on with Kira?
No. She has to go through a purity test, though, in front of, like, other people. So they strip her down naked and put her into, like, you know, the... gynecologist harness.
It's like, hey, we're just making sure everything's Legit.
And it's like, that's not right. That is so ew. Well, and she's in her young form, so it's just even more badong.
See,
there's a lot of badong in this series.
I could see why they wouldn't be too comfortable with that, because it could look like bestiality, because he could get all furry and she'd be all like, and he'd be all like, and it'd be a little...
And there's girl-on-girl action in there.
Not bad.
I mean, which, no, I don't have a problem with that
Is there any dude-on-dude action?
I haven't seen any, but I would be surprised if there isn't. Because if there's, you know, statutory rape, typically in your animes where you have statutory rape, there's usually at least one dude on dude. Right. Just like there's at least one chick on chick.
Yes.
I mean, they try to balance it out. You get a little bestiality, you get a little statutory, you get a little, you know, yaoi, yuri.
You get a little rape. A little rape here, rape there.
You get a little
rape. Hey, look underneath the carpet. There's some more rape.
You get a little rape. Look under your chairs. There's a little bit of
there's
rape.
There's a little rape. Rape. Just enough to make
but
you slightly
But if you get past all the sex stuff, you know, and you get past all of the statutory rape stuff, there's actually a decent series. Underneath
the fact that you're laughing at that statement.
I know, it's hard to say decent when you're like, when the previous statement was statutory rape.
It's decent statutory rape.
I mean, it's decent statutory rape. It's not like
it's decent.
Tentacle statutory rape, because that's just like badong on so many levels.
Decent.
But Dance of the Vampire Bund, it's on Netflix. If you've got it and you're into anime, I would definitely say it's worth a watch. Because there are some very interesting characters that are in there, some very interesting relationship arcs. Like I said, I'm sorry that it's only 12 episodes long, because where they leave you at 12 is really at the point where shit should be getting real, and there's no follow-up for it.
Nope.
And I hate that.
Yep, they did that with Spice and Wolf, too.
Yeah.
Hey, 12 episodes of pure awesome, and that's it for right now.
Yeah. And
deal with it.
By that we mean probably for the next 2 years, if we don't mean forever. So hopefully they'll actually do another 12 and actually finish out the story that they put into place, because it is very complicated and very deep once you get past, you know, the sex statutory rape stuff. So I would say it's definitely worth a watch. If you have Netflix, it's available for instant stream, so get on that. If you don't, it is on Hulu. However, on Hulu, they actually have 13 episodes, where the special episode is basically just a highlight reel of the 12 episodes before it. And it looks like it was a VHS copy that was just put on to Hulu. And like I said, it is also much more edited on the Hulu version, so all the nakedness actually looks like vampire aura, where everybody's just the gold pattern thing that moves kind of like the Gankotsugo effect.
Oh, okay.
So you don't see the nakedness and the nipples and, you know, the splits and the vajayjays as much as you just see the pattern over the body. So, you know, if you want to really get into the story and you want to get, you know, past all the sex statutory stuff, watch it on Hulu. If you don't mind that stuff, or rather,
if you're all about the titties,
if you are about the titties, watch it on Netflix.
Okay,
just watch it. Tell me what you think.
Funimation.
See, Funimation. You should be doing statutory rape.
No. In the case of this, I feel like you should be like Funimation. You should be fapping. Because sometimes they set you up, man. It's like that little box with a stick, and you're just like, I shouldn't go in there because I'm going to knock that stick over. I'm not good. Oh, I'm going. And you get trapped in the box.
Yeah. Trapped.
They trap you in the box.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, there's that.
Yeah.
But that's what I've been doing. That, and I ran through High School of the Dead, but I'll talk about that later. Next week.
That could be our joint topic, because I've already seen it too.
Yeah, so maybe we'll do that next week. So that's my bit on that. Obviously, I'll have some more stuff throughout the week actually up on the website about what happened at PAX Prime and things that I'm interested in, like, you know, Borderlands 2. Yeah, that's really what I've got. So if you want more stuff like this, you should absolutely hit us up on our website, www.electricsister.com, or you can use our short address, which is
esh.co. That is esh.co. The short address will bounce into the long one. You can check out any articles that have been written in the week. Any questions or comments, go to mailbag@landervesh.com. We are available on iTunes for free. Go there and subscribe, please, and leave a comment.
Yeah, like she said, you can actually go into the iTunes Music Store and subscribe to our podcast to ensure that you get our new episodes the moment that we put them out on the interwebs. Simply search for Electric Sisterhood in the Music Store and hit the beautiful little subscribe button, and you will get awesomeness delivered every Monday-ish that will be sure to please. I'm not going to guarantee that it will please you, because sometimes it's hard to get that satisfaction. But I assure you, our dulcet tones are pleasing to your ear.
Pleasing.
And if you don't want to do that,
you could plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But if you're looking for us, you should look for the other people who fly underneath our banner. Okay, thanks.
That's right, because we are not the only entity that makes up the Land of Esh. Oh, no. While we have new episodes of our podcast that go out on Monday, you can follow that up with an episode of the Boston Bass Brigade podcast, which I highly recommend. That comes out on Tuesday. Follow that up with an episode of the Geek Aggro podcast, which comes out on Wednesday. And then to get the rest of your week filled with nerdtasticness, there's all the stuff that we write on our respective websites that you can find conveniently located in one place at thelandofesh.com. You can also pick up a copy of our print magazine, which I also highly recommend, because it is just filled to the brim with win. There are fictional stories in there. There are reviews in there. There's editor's notes and editor, not the editor's notes. Shit that we dig, recommendations on stuff, just general nerdy, geeky stuff in there. It's so full of yummy. Also should pick that up. Then you can chat with us on Facebook, because we've been asked why we don't have a forum, and I say that we do. It's our Facebook page. So just hit us up on the Facebook page, facebook.com/
Make some friends.
You can ask us questions, suggest things for us to check out. There's all the Twitter stuff that goes on. Conveniently, everyone's gathered on a list on my page, so twitter.com/ninjasista, and the list is called Land of Esh. I mean, what else would it be called? And we're every place else, too. We got Flickr. You can ask us questions on Formspring. I mean, we're, you know, everywhere. I'm actually thinking about creating a Land of Esh location on Foursquare that you can check into every time you listen to a podcast. I'm working on that. What you digging this week, Panda?
Pizza.
Oh my god, pizza is really good.
Pizza.
I'm not even gonna lie.
Pizza, which I'm totally gonna heat up after we're done recording. Pizza.
You're just like, I'm hungry.
What
I'm
about pizza. Pizza and zombies, Ninja?
I am actually digging the Jambox by Jawbone. I got to play with one recently, and I really want one desperately now. It's a gadget.
Okay. Maybe we should talk about that next week so I know what the fuck you're talking about.
All right, we'll do that.
Okay, great.
That's the shit I'm digging.
Wonderful.
So, as always, I'm Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
And we are out of here, people.
See you guys next week.
Peace.